Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If there's one common thread, it might be that men perceive church as too feminine.
We have to be aggressive in the world when it's appropriate. We are warriors.
1, 2, 3. Warriors!
You are a real man when you commit to study God's word and you commit to being conformed and transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the biblical perspective on being a man.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday, asking young people the question, if you could ask God one question, what would it be? Because, well, I don't think they've thought about it very much. And if they have, I think it'll probably reveal what's going on inside of their heart. I mean, what's happening in there? Okay, if you're an atheist and you're listening, what question would you ask God? I know you don't believe that he exists, but if you could ask him a question, what would it be? Chances are that probably points a pretty accurate finger at what your problem is with God. If it's evil in the world, that probably needs to get figured out for you, and it needs to get answered. Now, I happen to think that the Bible answers the question on evil. I think it answers the question why. I think it's the only story that answers the question why. At least a hopeful story. Hey, I wonder what they're filming here. This is fascinating. Looks like the news crews are here. Huh. They get to set up and record. We don't. I have to slink around here like a criminal. Huh. I wonder what sort of papers they got. Oh, this is funny. I'm by the Student Center at Georgia Tech, and it's very typical campus. And I've described this 50 times before, that there's this circular area. There's a fountain in the middle of it, and people sit and eat lunch. But you can't do open-air preaching there. Instead, about, let's call it 50 yards away, there's another smaller circular area built like kind of an amphitheater. And at the place where you'd sit and eat lunch where you can't do open-air preaching, there's probably about 40 kids sitting there. This is the first time I've seen anyone at the open-air area. Thanks for allowing us a place to do free speech, Georgia Tech. There's a young man who's eating a bowl of something. And I'm gonna try to climb up the stairs and ask him a question because I like doing it with when people have food in their mouth. Hey, young man, I'm doing well, thank you. I don't want to wreck your lunch, so keep eating, okay?
All right.
But I want to ask you a question on the radio. Are you up for the game?
Sure.
Dude, I got one question I want to ask you. If you could ask God one question, what would it be?
How did the universe start?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How do you think it started?
Well, if God does exist and if he does have an answer, I'll be willing to know. But I think people just theorize about how it started. They say it's by chance, which I do believe.
Yeah. So,
but if there's any other theory,
you'd be open.
Mm-hmm.
How's about he made it?
Doesn't mean I'll accept it. But
right. Okay, so how's about the answer, he made it? He's bigger than the universe. He's got the power. He's got the ingenuity. He made it. How's that?
Well, I find that we use God to explain things we don't really understand.
Could be.
So,
fill in the gaps.
Exactly. So, I guess I would need proof.
How's about everything that he's made, all the stuff? The proof is we're sitting on it. We're looking at it. We're breathing it.
But how do you know it was he who made it? How do you know that this is all by chance?
Well, the same way that I look at your sesame chicken, is that what you're eating?
Yes, it is.
Sesame chicken. It actually looks pretty good. There's a lot of chicken in that.
Yeah.
Okay, the same way that I know that your sesame chicken didn't come together by chance. I know, I didn't even go into the kitchen where they made that, and I would bet my life that somewhere there's a chef who put that together and put it in a bowl. I would bet my life on it, and I've never even seen them. But I know that they exist because I have the proof in the end product. Same thing with creation. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt there's a creator because there's an organized creation. What do you think of that?
But you don't have proof for the creator.
The creation.
But the creation doesn't always justify the creator.
When doesn't it?
Well,
okay, I'll try a scientific experiment, all right? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing you're kind of a science guy, right?
Sort of.
Sort of? Mm-hmm. Okay. You got about, we could either take that rice out of that bowl or some of those sesame seeds. And I'd bet money again, if I had any, if we took, let's say, 50 pieces of that rice and we lined it up on the stoop here, right in a row, neatly in a row, and we brought anybody on this campus up here and pointed that out to them, you know what they're going to say? Who did that? I don't think anybody would say, oh, random chance, rice got together and lined itself up like that. We intuitively know when something is organized and structured and designed, there's a designer. Sort of like when you look at a painting, you immediately know, ah, there's a painter. I don't need to meet the fella. I see the result on the canvas. And the same thing is true with creation. I got all the proof I need. Somebody put this thing together, because here it is.
But would you call the universe structured?
Oh, yeah. And amazing. I'd call us structured. I'd call these green plants here structured. I call that broccoli in your bowl structured. It's amazing. I call the eyes that can actually see that stuff and the brain that can figure it out and interpret it amazingly structured. Don't you think we're organized?
That is, yes, I do think so. I don't think that we came from structured things. I think, how did life start? I wasn't really structured.
Oh, so
it became structured once it actually got started.
Well, but you've grown, but it doesn't mean you're not structured. Even when you came together, sperm and egg, that's still structured. You just became bigger.
Yeah, but that's not... I'm talking about, like, bacterial life, like in the beginning of life.
Yeah.
That was all...
The only thing about that is we don't seem to have a single example of something that's less complex becoming more complex with additional information being added all by itself to become more sophisticated. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, that would be counter to our laws of physics. We don't go from disorder to order. We go from order to disorder. Let me try something out. What are you studying here at Georgia Tech?
I'm studying mechanical engineering.
Where are you from, by the way?
Costa Rica.
Yeah, you've got just a touch of an accent. Yeah, but I couldn't quite pick it up. Okay, what's your first name so I don't...
Jose.
Jose, nice to meet you. Let me try this with you. All right, let me try your conscience. Let me go around your intellect and let's see if we can hit your conscience. Do you know what your conscience is?
Something that's there, but I'm not always aware of it.
The thing that tells you, uh-oh, I'm doing something wrong here. That's the thing that... It's the courtroom in your mind that tells you that was bad.
Right. Right?
I want to try to get to your conscience for a second.
All right.
Jose, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Well, you have to define good.
Okay, fair enough. How's about 10 commandments good?
No.
No. Because you've lied, I'm guessing?
Among other things, yeah.
Among other things? Stealing, perhaps?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dishonoring your parents by being naughty as a child?
I don't think my parents would call... I don't think their honor depends on what I necessarily do in my private life.
Well, whether it's private or public...
That depends on culture.
Yeah. Well, when you lie, that doesn't honor your parents. Or when they maybe told you to make your bed and you didn't do it. Anytime you were a naughty child, then you'd be dishonoring them.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, what about blasphemy? Taking God's name in vain. Instead of swearing or using a four-letter filth word, you use God's name to express disgust. Have you ever done that?
Not to express disgust, but maybe surprise, yes.
Okay, whatever. But not to praise him, certainly.
Well, I'm not going to say I deny that God exists.
Right.
But I know there's something, some supernatural power between humans and a connection between everything. But I'm not necessarily sure that there's a creator. It's God.
All right.
You know? I know there's something, but I don't know what it is. I don't think many of us know what it is.
Okay. Have you ever, whether here on campus or any place else, have you ever looked at a woman with lust, with sexual desire?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so I just asked you 4 commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And you've broken them. All right? So let's say you die, okay, and you meet the Creator, and He's the one who wrote the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
You've broken His laws.
Mm-hmm.
Would He find you innocent or guilty?
Well, guilty.
Guilty. All right. So if you're guilty, He'll say, and God is holy and He's righteous and He's just, very important, He's just,
mm-hmm,
should He send you to heaven or to hell?
Well, Well, considering heaven and hell exists, I suppose to hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you've broken his laws. And he owns you because he made you. And he has rights to you. What do you know about hell?
I know it's... Or I believe it's a creation to make humans try to live righteous lives.
Is it a good place or a bad place?
It's generally described as a bad place.
Yeah. What goes on there? Do you have any idea?
Well, there's many theories of what hell is.
Yeah.
There's Dante's Inferno, but generally it means everlasting punishment.
Mm-hmm. Black, completely dark, can't see your hand in front of your face. Thirsty,
or lots of
fire. Thirst, lots of fire, weeping,
mm-hmm.
grinding your teeth because you're so miserable, a bottomless pit so you always feel like you're falling and you never get to the bottom of it. A bad place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That does not sound like a fun end to life for me.
No, but how do you know there's life after death?
Yeah.
How do you know you just don't die and that's it?
Yeah, because my conscience tells me there should be a day of reckoning. Jose, hold that thought. Keep eating your food. I got to take a break, okay?
Okay.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment with Jose and Sesame Chicken Recipes on Wretched Radio.
You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's Word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
We live in a world where feelings are ruling the day. Truth, that's optional. Love, redefined. Your emotions, let them run wild, or better yet, shut them down completely. Neither extreme is biblical, but on The Better Way with Libby Glossin, you're going to find something rare. Intelligent talk radio for women that isn't swayed by culture. No truth bombs without love, no sugarcoating without substance, just a balanced biblical approach to the tough questions you're facing every day. Emotions aren't meant to be ignored, but they're also not meant to rule you. Boundaries aren't the answer, but neither is blind trust. And feminism? It's not about equality anymore, it's about dethroning God. If you're tired of the empty words and the shallow advice, it's time for something better. It's time for The Better Way with Libby Glossin. No platitudes, no nonsense, just the truth wrapped in wisdom. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
All right, dude, here's where we left things off. All right? You're a young man. You are 20 years old?
19
years old. You die. God judges you, knows that you're guilty. You've broken the laws and sends you to a terrible place. That is horrible news. Do you have any idea what the good news of the gospel is? Do you know what that is? Really? What's Costa Rica? Is it Roman Catholic mostly?
Yeah.
Okay, what's Easter?
Easter?
Yeah. Good Friday.
I have a general idea of what it is.
Okay, Jesus died. Mm. All right, Jesus, the God-man, fully God, came to this earth, took on human form. Sorry, man. Took on human form to be your representative so that he could represent you in a courtroom against a holy God. So he's fully God, coming from the Father, representing you as a human being to accomplish a mission. And the mission was to pay the fine for your sins. You've got a debt with God. You've broken his laws. You deserve to be punished by God because you've sinned against him. And it's a big deal because he's high and he's holy and he's perfect. So he sent his son to take the punishment that you deserve. The good man being punished for the bad man. The just man dying for the unjust man so that your badness can be credited to him and his goodness can be credited to your account. So that you, if you will respond to the gospel by repenting, which is a biblical word that means agreeing with God. He exists. He's perfect. I've lived my own way. I've sinned against him, and I'm sorry. And you turn from your sins, and you put your trust in his Son, the Savior, Jesus. He says that he will forgive all of your sins, grant you everlasting life because of what Jesus did on your behalf. That's the good news of the gospel. And you reject that, I'm guessing.
I don't know. It's maybe if I was there when Jesus was there and I saw what he did and I experienced it.
Okay, here's maybe one last thought for you. If what I just shared with you is true, that Jesus Christ, God himself, died for you, can you think of an act that anybody has ever done for you that is more kind than that?
No. Fortunately, I've had a good life so far.
Yeah. But nobody's ever done anything that nice for you.
Well, it's hard to compare a human who has so many flaws to God's counterpart on earth. Don't you think?
Well, just because it's maybe difficult for me to imagine, it makes an awful lot of sense. Doesn't it? I mean, if there is a God and there's a creator of all of this stuff, there's something inside of me that says, I've been living in a wrong way against him. And this is the only story that allows my conscience to not be freaked out when I go to bed at night. And besides that, it's amazingly good news. See, all the other world religions, I don't know how familiar you are with Buddhism or Hinduism or any other religion for that, or even Roman Catholicism for that matter, all teaches basically the same thing. God is up there, and you are down here, and you've got to do something to get your way to him. Mm-hmm. Christianity teaches just the opposite of that. He's way up there, we're down here, and there is nothing we can do to get our way there. In fact, all we do is drive ourselves further and further away from him by living rebellious lives. But instead of trying to figure out a way where we can reconcile ourselves to him, he came up with a way to reconcile us to himself. We don't do the reconciling. He does. And that way, it is a gift of God. It's something that he does for us so that he's the one who can get credit. Because see, if you could do all the good things, Jose, and give away money or discover a cure to an illness and say, that's why I went to heaven, then people would praise you. But you're not God, and God's going to get all the praise. And this plan allows him to get all the praise for saving a bad guy like you. Nothing you do, everything that Jesus did on your behalf. It's uniquely different than any other world system.
But then, what's the point of being here?
Good question. Here it is. Here's the biblical answer. And I don't think you'll find a better answer than this.
Okay.
You are here to glorify God and enjoy him forever. As good as your sesame chicken is, as wonderful as your life has maybe been, and all of the experiences that you have had,
nothing compares to enjoying God. Nothing. Because he's the best thing there is. And it's finally, our entire lives living wrong, out of sorts with our Creator, finally brought into a right relationship with him. But there's that first part to it. Do you remember what I said? You're here to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And here's how you glorify God. Okay, there's two ways you're going to glorify God. One of two ways. Okay? First way is the harsh way. Ready? You live your own way. You die your own way. And then God will pay you the wages for what you have earned. Mm-hmm. For all of your sinning or lying, whether it's pornography or being inappropriate with girls, dishonoring your parents, coveting things, whatever it's been, he's going to give you exactly what you deserve, and you'll glorify him in hell for forever, because he will execute justice on you. And he'll get glorified because he is going to have the last word.
You won't forgive me?
No, he won't. He'll punish you. But there's another way you can glorify God. You can humble yourself today, agree with him, he's right, I'm wrong, I've been living for myself, I've sinned against him in countless ways, and I'm sorry. And you turn from your sins. You don't become perfect, but you turn from them with a new attitude. I don't want those sins anymore. I don't want to live for him, myself. I want to live for him now. And you put your trust in his son, the Savior. So you repent and trust. And then God says he'll forgive you based on what Jesus did. You will have complete forgiveness of sins. He'll adopt you as his son and give you the heirs of everlasting, grant you the heirs of everlasting life. And then for all of eternity, he can point to Jose and say, if you would like to know how good I am and how kind I am, I saved Jose. The guy who was a sinner, who lied and stole and lusted, I saved him. That's how good I am. And you will glorify him so that he can demonstrate his kindness by saving you. So either way, you'll glorify him. But the second offer is a whole lot better than the first. So that's why you're here. One way or another, you're going to glorify God. Kicking and screaming or surrendering. What do you think of that?
That sounds pretty good, but it's all creation of your mind that hell exists, and you'll go to hell if you're bad.
Well, it could be.
Bad people win sometimes.
It could be a creation of your mind. But, yeah, I guess then it comes down to figuring out what's true. I mean, I could believe a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I could believe that you and I are going to spend eternity in Costa Rica.
All right.
No, would it? But, well, I can believe that, and I can be wrong. But the question is, what is true? And so you should take a look. You're a young man, but you're a man nonetheless. And you should figure out what's true when it comes to big things like this. Because you've got options.
Well, I don't think humans have the capacity to reach such conclusions.
Why not?
Because of all the flaws you mentioned.
Well, you've got flaws, but it doesn't mean you can't figure stuff out. You figure stuff out all day when you're studying here at Georgia Tech. And this isn't that difficult. This is really simple. What I just shared with you is really, a child can get this. So all I can do is ask you to ponder it and just think it through to see if it's true or not.
I do ponder it. But
yeah.
Let me ask you this. Who told you all this stuff before you came to tell me?
Well, I guess a lot of different people.
So you heard it from other people?
Mm-hmm.
And like you're doing to me now, asking me. And say, I was in your position and you were me.
No.
And you asked me to ponder.
I wouldn't believe me.
Okay.
I wouldn't, but you don't have to.
So, okay, well, you believe yourself, don't you?
Yes.
What you're saying?
Yeah. And so I think you should believe me, but I would say to you, there's a better source than me for this, okay?
Okay.
Okay, there's three sources I would give you that are better, that are more reliable than me. First of all, creation. It is inescapable that there is a creator. You just can't get past it. And as long as there's stuff, there had to be a stuff maker. Second of all, you've got your conscience. That little thing that says, I'm in trouble. I got to get this figured out. Something's wrong here. I know there's a day of reckoning. I've got trouble coming my way. But the third source that's far more reliable is the Bible. Read the Bible. Don't trust me. Read the Bible and see what it says.
The Bible is a history book.
Okay.
History books are biased.
So? Doesn't mean they're wrong. The question is it right?
I don't know.
Then you should explore it. Because if it's right, you've got trouble and calamity headed your way. Do you have a Bible?
No.
You can get one online, though, right?
Yeah.
Do this. I mean, you're trying to figure stuff out as you go through life. And you can remember this. Your name is Jose. This begins with a J. Look up the Gospel of John.
Okay.
And just read it.
Okay.
And see what it says.
Okay.
Can I challenge you to do that?
I'll try, yeah.
All right. All right, man. Hey, thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
You're just about out of rice.
Yep.
And if you get all those pieces up with those chopsticks,
beautiful.
I'll be very impressed. All right,
we'll
man.
See.
Hey,
thank you.
Thanks for the chat, Jose. I hope schooling goes well for you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, see ya. Goodbye.
Thank you.
This is Wretched.